Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday morning, October 22nd, 2022 episode of the Voice Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with reading of some prayers and a devotion each morning. Our prayers come from the Valley of Vision. It is a collection of Puritan prayers. Our devotion comes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do the morning devotion for each, for the particular day. Our Bible reading, we use Bible reading plan that was created by Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842. It is a read the Bible in a year plan, and it actually goes through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once, so we're using that. And we're reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We're reading from that because it is the most texturally accurate to the earliest copies or the earliest manuscripts we have of the documentation. My motivation for this was a realization that in our world today we tend to struggle with being able to spend time in the Word of God, to sit down and read. Obviously it's very good, and I'm not trying to replace that, but I know there are some folks that really, really struggle with it. And I know for myself, part of my problem is poor time management, and I'm not trying to put that on you. That's up to you to determine whether you're struggling with poor time management or not. But I realize folks were struggling with it. I realized myself I was struggling with it. And so, as well as knowing that there are some folks with some chronic condition or conditions out there that bring about symptoms like brain fog and stuff like that. So they tend to struggle to be able to sit and read. As much as they love to read and love to read the Word of Scripture, they may struggle to read. So I thought, and I knew it had been a help for some of them to at least be able to listen to the Scripture. So I thought this might be a help for them. I also know that when I used to have to drive, fortunately or unfortunately, since COVID hit, I've been able to work from home. And now that things are lightening up, we're staying working from home, which I'm very, very grateful for. It's allowed us to strip down to a single car, and get rid of our old junky cars, strip down to a better car, lower our gas consumption, stuff like that, which has been great. But I remember back when I was, putting in 25 to 30 minutes one way each day, that it was nice to be able to listen to good Christian podcasts and listen to the Word of God being read, while I was driving. That was very helpful for me to get me set for the day. So that's kind of what motivated me to do this. I'm out here in the middle of the desert. We're out here outside of Tucson, Arizona. We're actually finally starting to get fall-like temperatures. We're still getting into the mid-80s in the day, except tomorrow we actually don't even get out of the 70s, and we're going to be down low to mid-70s as highs through the rest of the week, and we're going to be getting down into the upper 40s at night. Actually, one day, Monday, I think we're going to be down around 42 for the low. Definitely looking forward to that. Of course, we're low enough down, we'd have to get up in the mountains around us to get any kind of color changes and stuff like that. We just don't have those kind of trees unless somebody has actually tried to plant them and maintain them down here on the desert floor. I mean, we're still, I think at my house, I'm 3,200 to 3,400 feet, somewhere in there. We just don't typically have color changing trees down here. So we don't get that, and that's definitely something my wife and I miss, is the color-changing trees in the fall. But we're at least finally starting to get some fall-like weather, which we're very grateful for. we've started doing the like at night when we just don't want the TV on, we just want to read and stuff. We've been turning on little ambient noise streams from YouTube that have pretty fall pictures and stuff like that. So and usually it'll be some jazz or just some peaceful music. So we've started to do that. So we're finally starting to get to enjoy that. I've been enjoying running around with my USS Groton hat on. It's nice to have it. It's been a lot of years since I had one, and I had one like that. And like I mentioned before, very, very grateful for my brothers that I served with. They were great guys, and I was very, very blessed to be able to serve alongside them. And the wife and I actually got to go out to dinner last night. We went out and had Mexican, which we've not had in a while. We've got a little Taco Giro over here, that in the little space it is, it's actually surprising. Not belittling Taco Giro. Actually, I've not been to one in town here that was bad. It's very, very good food, and it was just nice to get out and do that. We haven't eaten out in weeks. So that was nice. Let's see, we got to have my grandson. I actually took a nap. Well, I had my grandson take a nap on me yesterday, and it's always nice. That's always sweet to have them snuggle up on you and fall asleep. The only bummer for he and I both is we're both personal heaters. I mean, when it gets cold in the winter, my wife snuggles up against me to warm up. And my grandson is the same way. So we tend to heat each other up. But it was nice to get to love on him and spend time with him yesterday. So, you know, we're very fortunate. We get to have him 3 days a week. And it's very, very wonderful to get to be a part of his growing up. I know there were times when my brother and I were growing up that we just weren't close enough to my grandmother's for them to be there that close. And my grandfathers had passed on before my parents met. So I never got to meet any of my grandfathers. I had a few people that were friends of my grandmother's and my mom had known most of her life that acted as grandfathers. They very much filled, as far as I knew, that role. But yeah, it was kind of tough not having my grandmother's closer. We moved where we had to move for my dad's job. Government civil service. Sometimes you just go where you got to go. And don't get me wrong, my dad did very well providing for us, but it was kind of tough. I mean, we did miss our grandmothers. So it's nice that my wife and I are able to be this close to him. So that has been wonderful. And we got a few things planned this weekend. I'm unfortunate I get to go to a men's Bible study. We're starting a book study. We're going to be doing The Heart of the Bible by John MacArthur. And this is with a new group of guys, so it's going to be interesting. I some of them I've met and gotten to peripherally know, but it should be very interesting. And my wife is going to go spend some time with the ladies of our previous church, where we were meeting, our little home church, and get to go spend some time with them. So I'm going to have to borrow one of my older son's cars to get over there so my wife can take ours. So that's one of the limitations of being down to one car. But it'll be nice. It'll be nice to get to do those things today. And we're coming up October 30th. Vail Valley Baptist Church is going to have its Harvest Festival out on Colossal Cave Road. And so that should be really, really interesting, talking to the pastor and looking into, and we're doing it's Harvest Festival and a trunk or treat thing. So a little bit safer maybe. And we're doing it, you know, on the 30th. So they can do regular trick or treating on the 31st. So definitely looking forward to that as we come along. The pastor has asked me, and I'm trying to figure out whether my hands can take it now. Because I grew up playing the piano, they want me to, they asked if I would see if I'd be willing to play the piano for our music during the service. I am extremely out of practice. I think the last time I played at all was 8 years ago. which is strange, going from when I was in college playing Rachmaninoff piano concertos to now with arthritic changes and everything else. And due to my weight being up, I've got impingement going on in my shoulders, so that I get numbness in my hands at times. So I don't know. Fortunately, my father gifted me with something he had gotten for himself years and years ago. And when we moved out here, he sent his electronic keyboard along, and it is a full-size piano keyboard. It's full-size keys and everything, because he needed that. And it's very, very nice, but he sent it along with me, and I need to pull it back out of its case, and I'll have to do some playing around and see if I can actually even do anything. They're not really looking for anything complicated, just to, because it's very, very simple what Vail Valley does. Right now, it's just a guitar player and a couple of people singing, and in my case, I'd just be playing along, playing chords, which I should be capable of doing. So we'll see how that goes. But it'll be nice to participate that way. I mean, I like being able to use whatever gifts God has given me to be able to help them. So we'll see how that goes. I, you know, it's kind of dependent on whether the hands are going to hold up or not. We'll just have to see what happens there. But now that I've rambled for, 10 minutes now, let's go ahead and let's get into our reading for the day. So our first thing for the day, so as has been our regular practice, we're going to do our prayers for the day. Today we actually have four of them. We're going to do our two regular prayers, Resting on God and Grace in Trials. And if you don't know, I choose those two to start with my day. And again, I'm sharing part of my morning Bible reading routine and prayer routine and all of that with you. This is not something different from something I did just for the podcast. This is something I regularly do each morning, or was doing each morning prior to this podcast. I just started recording it to share with you. But I do Resting on God and Grace in Trials. And the reason I do those two is they remind me, they were a big help when I was dealing very seriously with anxiety and depression. And they kept reminding me that as weak as I may be in myself, that the strength comes from God. Strength comes from the faith in Christ. And it has so helped. My wife and I were talking about it the other day, that I, as we've moved along, I've had less and less issues with that as I've spent more and more time in the Word and spent more and more time reminding myself of those things. That as scary as the world gets around me and as overwhelmed as I might feel, God has ordained this. God is there. Jesus was very clear that, my yoke, bring your trials to me, and that my yoke is easy and light on you. So that's why we start with those two, and then we'll do the morning prayer for the day, which will be seventh day morning, and because it's Saturday, we'll do Lord's Day Eve prayer as well. So let's go ahead and read. Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicated, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. and grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them, unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now, seventh day morning, it's God's good pleasure. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility. For vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. And now the Lord's Day Eve prayer. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved in my going out, in my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all success one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, I'm going to grab some coffee here. Oh, and of course I didn't mute my phone. Anyways. All right. And now our morning devotion. It is the morning October 22nd devotion. The scripture for today is Hosea 14:4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. This sentence is a body of divinity in miniature. He who understands its meaning is a theologian, and he who can dive into its fullness is a true master in Israel. It is a condensation of the glorious message of salvation, which was delivered to us in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. The sense hinges upon the word freely. This is the glorious, the suitable, the divine way by which love streams from heaven to earth, a spontaneous love flowing forth to those who neither deserved it, purchased it, nor sought after it. It is indeed the only way in which God can love such as we are. The text is a death blow to all sorts of fitness. I will love them freely. Now, if there were any fitness necessary in us, then he would not love us freely. At least this would be a mitigation and a drawback to the freeness of it. But it stands. I will love you freely. We complain, Lord, my heart is so hard. I will love you freely. But I do not feel my need of Christ as I could wish. I will not love you because you feel your need. I will love you freely. But I do not feel that softening of spirits which I could desire. Remember, the softening of spirit is not a condition, for there are no conditions. The covenant of grace has no conditionality whatever, so that we without any fitness may venture upon the promise of God, which was made to us in Christ Jesus, when he said, He that believeth on him is not condemned. It is blessed to know that the grace of God is free to us at all times, without preparation, without fitness, without money, and without price. I will love them freely. These words invite backsliders to return. Indeed, the text was specially written for such. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Backslider, surely the generosity of the promise will at once break your heart, and you will return and seek your injured father's face. Wow. He will love us freely. How comforting that has to be for us. All right. Our Bible reading for the day. More coffee there for a minute. All right. Our scriptures for the day are 2 Kings 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, Daniel 7, and Psalm 114 and 115. So 2 Kings 3. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, though not like his father and his mother. And he took away the sacred pillar of Baal, which his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He did not turn away from them. Now Misha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and used to pay the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened that when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? And he said, I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And he said, Which way shall we go? And he answered, The way of the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they went around on a 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the camp or for the cattle that followed them. Then the king of Israel said, Alas, for Yahweh has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire of Yahweh by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of Yahweh is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said to him, no, for Yahweh has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. So now bring me a musician. And it came about when the musician played that the hand of Yahweh came upon him. And he said, thus says Yahweh, make this valley full of trenches. For thus says Yahweh, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, both you and your livestock and your cattle. And this is but a light thing in the sight of Yahweh. He will also give the Moabites into your hand. Then you shall strike every fortified city and every choice city, and fell every good tree, and stop all springs of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. Then it happened in the morning, about the time of offering the sacrifice, that behold, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, and they summoned all who were able to put on armor and older, and they stood on the border. Then they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water, and the Moabites saw the water opposite them, as red as blood. Then they said, this is blood. The kings have surely fought together, and they have struck down one another. So now Moab, to the spoil. So they came to the camp of Israel, and the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites. So they fled before them, and they went forward into the land, striking down the Moabites. Thus they tore down the cities, and each one threw a stone on every piece of good land, and filled it. And they stopped all the springs of water, and felled all the good trees, until in Kir Hareseth they let its stones remain. However, the slingers went about it and struck it. Then the king of Moab saw that the battle was too strong for him, so he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. So he took his oldest son, who was to reign in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering on the wall. And there came great wrath against Israel, and they set out from him and returned to their own land. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who walks in an unruly manner, and not according to the tradition which they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without praying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would imitate us. For even when we were with you, we used to command this to you: if anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are walking in an unruly manner, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that working with quietness, they eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers, do not lose heart in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this letter, take special note of that person to not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. And yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually give you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul, which is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And now Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his head as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and said the following summary of the matter. Daniel answered and said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a heart of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one in the likeness of a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, Arise, devour much meat. After this I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, fearsome and terrifying and extraordinarily strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them. And 3 of the 1st horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great boasts. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His clothing was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with fire, its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the great boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was killed, and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was given to them for an appointed season of time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, and came near before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not be taken away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions of my head kept alarming me. I came near to one of those who were standing by and began seeking out from him the exact meaning of all this. So he said it to me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are 4 in number, are 4 kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others, extraordinarily fearsome, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which 3 of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth speaking great boast, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overcoming them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the season arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth, and tread it down, and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and will make low 3 kings. He will speak words against the Most High, and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make changes in seasons and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the reign, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. At this point, the matter of this revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and the splendor of my face changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What disturbs you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. And Psalm 115. Not to us, O Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. As for their hands, they do not feel. As for their feet, they do not walk. They do not make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. A house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. O house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. You who fear Yahweh, trust in Yahweh. He is their help and their shield. Yahweh remembered us. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear Yahweh, the small together with the great. May Yahweh give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of Yahweh, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. It is not the dead that praise Yah, and it is none of those who go down to silence. But as for us, we will bless Yah from now until forever. Praise Yah. All right, and that is our reading for the day. I've run a little long here, but I definitely want to remind you, tomorrow Sunday, please be in church. I've said it before. There are 3 key things to our walking in a saving faith in Christ. And the primary one is sitting under solid preaching, closely followed by being in the Word and being in prayer. But we've got to be under solid preaching. We've got to be there, and sitting there on your couch, streaming it on TV, minus serious physical limitations that prevent you from it, you need to be there fellowshipping with the saints. That's obedience. That's showing your love of God. Otherwise, we're being disobedient. We're being sinful if we're not doing that. And I'm not trying to be ugly about it. I struggle with it too. I am as lazy as the next person on a Sunday morning. But we've got to be there worshiping. We've got to. We need that. And we need to be that example. We need to be that example to the world around us. Otherwise, we're just like them. And that's not what we're called to be. As I've said this week multiple times, we are the ecclesia. We are called to be the ecclesia, the set apart ones. Not, like I said, not that we go off and hide somewhere and live our lives completely separate from them, but we are to look different from them. We are to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5. We are to be imitators of God. Paul even calls us at one point to be imitators of him as he is of Christ. So we are to be imitators of Christ, meaning that our walk has got to look different than the world around us. We've got to be that example, that witness. Because that's how we get them. That's part of how we get them to come to a saving faith in Christ. And again, I'm not claiming that we can save anybody. But many, many is the time that folks will see the way we live our lives and will wonder that even in the trials, how positive and loving and helpful to others we are, and want to know where it came from. Where is that coming from? Where do you get that energy from? Where do you get that compassion from when everything's going crazy around you? Well, it comes from a faith in Christ, and it gives us that opening to share the gospel with them. Listening to a podcast earlier in the week from the Sword and the Trowel, which is from Founders Ministry, and they, you got to understand, Hurricane Ian went directly over their church and directly over the Founders Ministry headquarters and all of that, just hammered it. And their buildings took damage. But the first things they did as they could get out from under, the first things they did is start serving their community, start providing food and meals and supplies and anything they could while in need themselves. They're in need of it themselves. They have their own damage, not just to the church building, but to their individuals. One of the producers for The Sword and the Trowel, who is Dr. Askell, who is the pastor of that church and the lead of Founders Ministry, his daughter is one of the producers there. She and her husband had to leave their home. They're having to live somewhere else. Yet they are right in the middle. I mean, they're not the only ones. They're just one example, but they're serving their community. They are being imitators of God. They are being imitators of Christ, and we have to be too. And part of that is getting up and getting into worship, getting into a church service. And yeah, please find a solid one. I don't want you just going to any one of them. And I've told you before, Founders Ministry has a church finder. I don't know if their servers are up right now because everything that has happened. If they are, they have a church finder. Master Seminary has a pastor finder, has a graduate finder, which will show you which churches they are preaching at. So please find yourself a solid church and get into service tomorrow morning, or tonight, if it happens to be tonight. Please get there. Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've been so blessed to be able to gather together this morning and to spend this time in your word and in prayer and in devotion. Dear Lord, we would pray that this time would continue to equip us, to edify us, to lift us up, and to hedge up our ways so that we truly walk as imitators of you and as imitators of your Son. Dear Lord, we would pray that we would go forward and be and shine your light in this crazy, crazy world. We continue to pray for our country. Lord, we need revival. Our world needs revival, but our country needs revival. Our country has gotten to the point it makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like choir boys. Lord, we pray so much for revival in this world because we've become such a culture of death and dismemberment and maiming of our children. Dear Lord, please, please, we would pray you would do a work in this country and in this world. Dear Lord, please go with us now as we go out throughout our day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Like I tell you every podcast, or try to remember to do so, whatever you do today, and in any and all that you do today, do it for the glory of God. All right, you have a great one. God bless.